The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening right now, send her an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone to Down the Garden Path, where every week we discuss a variety of landscaping topics, down-to-earth tips, and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. As a landscape designer, I think it is important and possible to have a great garden that is low maintenance. And I personally love researching topics and inviting on new guests that can help us with our low-maintenance gardens and landscaping. This week on Down the Garden Path, I'm happy to have Chris Ray, owner of Humber Valley Landscaping, a design-build landscaping company. Now, Chris, from an early age, he said he always knew he wanted to work in the landscape business. As a teenager, he would mow lawns throughout high school, and in university, he worked for a landscaping company, which solidified his decision. Then, for whatever reason, right, Chris, he was ended up in telecom for 10 years, but his heart was always in landscaping. So in 2001, he started his own landscaping business, Humber Valley Landscaping. They are located in Markham and serve the GTA, Toronto, including Toronto, York, and Durham. They specialize in hardscaping such as flagstone, interlock, and retaining walls, and they also take a lot of pride in their garden installs. They work closely with their clients to design and install quality projects. Chris prides himself on having the knowledge and expertise to offer clients high-end quality products with outstanding customer service. And on the personal side, Chris has a 16-year-old daughter, I can't believe she's 16 already, who plays soccer, and in his spare time, he's, of course, her coach. Thank you for joining us today, Chris, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joanne. Happy to be here.
Good. I can't believe Alex is 16.
Yeah, it's time has flown.
I know.
Just before we got on the call, we were talking about universities tonight, so it's, yes, time is flying.
Yes, for sure. I see people with young children, and I'm always like, that when they look exhausted, I'm like, yeah, the days are long, but the years are short.
So, exactly.
enjoy it. So, I'm so happy to have a landscaper on. There's lots always to talk about. It's such a great topic. But I wanted to explain to our listeners, Humber Valley Landscaping is a landscape design build company. You don't hear people sometimes, I don't know if they know what that means. So I just wondered if you wanted to explain that to our listeners.
Well, I think the main goal we have is to design projects that work for people and design landscapes that are going to benefit your lifestyle. So a lot of the time when we look at a project, we get calls often for services that may or may not work for a client. And I think one of the differences is that I make sure that we're providing value add to the client, or at least the project we're doing provides value to the client. And quite often people will call and they'll want to have a hedge removed or a fence removed and a new fence or a hedge, but it may not be the situation that requires that. It's time for a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at the project. Maybe put in a retaining wall, build something different, which requires us to do some designing and work with a few designers over the years that have done some beautiful things, including yourself.
Thanks.
And I just find that when you take that element of working with designs and having that service, you're just farther ahead than the competition, and you're not just out doing cookie cutter patios or walkways or whatever.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, I think, and you bring a different approach to it as opposed to, I think sometimes customers want A and they think landscapers are just going to come and do A. But if A is not the right thing, then they need someone who's the professional. We're the professionals. We need to tell them that, right? We need to explain to them why they need a retaining wall and why that retaining wall needs to be built this way, right?
Exactly. So quite often I'm as guilty as anybody for this. I'll talk to a client and they'll say they want this, this, and this. And I say, great, we'll start pricing it. And I think about it for a moment and I think, you know what, we need to bring someone in to look at this because, like, you know, that philosophy and that sort of strategy doesn't really work in today's climate, and it doesn't work with today's customer either.
Right.
People want to have third party or designers coming in and working with them. Identifying colors they like, flowers they like, you know, what their likes and dislikes are, what their aversions to things are, whatever, so you can create a beautiful place for people to hang out. And it's their space. It's not my space. It's not my creation. It's a collaboration between the contractor, the designer, and the client. And I think it's just important that more clients need to understand that, and there's a thousand analogies, right?
Right.
Like, you know, you wouldn't build a house without plans. You wouldn't build a car without plans. Like, you wouldn't do anything without plans.
Yes, yeah. I always do the kitchen one. I say you wouldn't wake up on a Saturday morning and take the sledgehammer to your kitchen cupboards, right, without a plan. But for some reason, they have no problem waking up on the weekend and getting out their shovel and digging up their landscaping, right?
That's true, and so we've gone to a model now for my pricing, and we don't do work without a plan.
Excellent.
So it has to be included in the project. It has to be included in the scope of work that needs to get done before we can even start. There's just been too many instances over the years where you have a customer that has a vision, I have a vision, and nothing's written down.
Right.
They want this, you do this, and it comes out, and it's not what they want.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to refer. There's nothing to refer back to. There's no blueprint of anything.
Right.
And if there is, it's something that we've created and probably haven't been paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's not really benefiting the client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the client needs to have a proper design done by a professional, someone that, you know, understands the area, understands the climate, understands the local plants, the local rocks, trees, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the size of things. I think sometimes, how often have you built a patio because they said they wanted a 10x10 patio, and then you leave at the end of the day and then they put their patio table on it and go, well, that's not big enough.
Yeah, it happens. We're doing a patio right now, and it was laid out, and I said, no one has ever said the patio is too big.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, you need to plan this stuff, and working with a really good designer, you're going to be looking at furniture sizes. You're going to be looking at where the sun's setting on your property.
Yeah.
You're going to be looking at a lot of things that you probably didn't think of when you set out to start this project.
Right.
And I was actually thinking on the way back from the job site today what people in other industries spend on design.
Mm.
If it's in construction, it can be up as high as 10% of the project.
Yeah.
And or higher. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a reasonable, you know, between 5 and 8% of the entire project should be spent to the design and the designer.
Wow, that's a lot, but that's good.
Not really.
Well, I guess.
$10,000 project.
Yeah.
10% is $1,000.
Yeah. Not, no, I guess you're right. That's true.
Not a crazy amount.
Yeah.
And I think it's a sliding scale because if it's a larger project, of course, you're going to probably have more involvement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it needs to be embraced.
Right. And so you really see the benefit for clients. You think that the benefit of having a design for the client. I love that term collaboration.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just because I have, like, you know, I've been doing this long enough, and I can look at a house and I get an idea of what I'd like to do, if it was my house or if it's my, whatever, my project, and what I would like to see.
Yeah.
So I have an idea, and then if you come to the project, you're going to look at it and say, okay, this is my idea, and the client's going to have their idea.
Right.
And I find that what helps me is that I've listened to the designer and the homeowner and come up with a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a designer coming and saying, no, it has to be this way, it has to be that way, that can get the client a little bit uptight. They can frustrate a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a bit of leniency.
Absolutely.
And we understand it's, you know, your design, but it's also you're working with other people that want to make it work too.
Yes.
So I think it's a, you know, you got to pick the right designer, you got to pick the right, you got to pick your right clients too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Because I think if the client is looking for, like, a yes man, you know, someone who's just going to say okay to everything they say, and what they're saying isn't necessarily right. I can think of pools, for instance. You know, people want to I get it that they want to maximize their space in their yard because yards are smaller and they want a pool. So they want to put that pool as close to the fence as possible. And, you know, but yet they also know that they want a garden around that fence. And so this happens every year where there's an 18-inch garden between the fence and the 3-foot perimeter around the pool.
Yep.
And then the pool company leaves, and then they call me and they say, well, we need some large trees for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, large trees for privacy do not have an 18-inch wide root ball.
No, it happens so often.
It happens so but the homeowner says, well, that, you know, the pool company will say, well, that's what they asked for. And the homeowner will say, well, that's what I asked for. But, you know, you needed to someone who could stand back and say, okay, that's what you wanted. And you wanted to maximize, I get it, that you want to maximize the space in the yard. But a professional who's going to give you their honest opinion and say, okay, well, this is the consequence or this is the alternative, right?
Yeah, and it's also okay to ask more than one person, too.
Right.
Like these types of things that I see this happen a lot where you, things are, and especially if I come into a project where I'm doing just planting or something, or I'm coming in just to do one specific service, and you sort of question, why was this done this way?
Mm-hmm.
There was clearly wasn't a whole lot of thought behind it. Is there a plan? Is there a design to this? Well, no, we don't have a plan. We don't, you know. So you might find, this is very quite often, is you find in, again, the pool setting where they put in a beautiful pool and a patio and decks, they have the 18-inch garden, and then somehow they forgot to put an irrigation line in into that garden that is now landlocked with stone and concrete and pools.
Yep.
So, you know, so any investment you put into this hasn't been designed properly because the irrigation hasn't been accounted for.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think the benefit of looking, when you're working with professionals, we're going to look at the big picture.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you think, you know, they want to deal with the pool guy for the pool and the you know, the plant person for the plants and the, you know, the contractor for the install, but they're not, nobody's overseeing all of it, right? No one's talking to, you know, looking at the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had this conversation with a couple of designers lately that, and I'm wondering, like, the model that we have, I think in our business needs to change a bit, where the designer sort of has more responsibility with the client, almost as a project manager. And that way you're involved more in the project, more with the client, and you're seeing your design from start to finish, as opposed to the contractor trying to field all the change orders and the questions to the designer.
Yeah.
The designer's the project manager.
Mm-hmm.
It makes amazing sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it really appeals to me, too, because there's nothing worse than, you know, leaving and then coming back and going, well, that's not what I drew.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not what I was thinking, you know, because, I mean, changes do happen, right?
Yeah.
We all know that. But I think that is a service that we can provide that not only helps the homeowner, but helps the contractor. To me, I think about it as that, because your priority is your crew, your priority is the material, your priority is making sure the job stays on schedule and you're dealing with weather and employees. You shouldn't have to be, you know, dealing with all the, you know, the little, not that they're not, I know our listeners are homeowners and not that those calls aren't insignificant, but I think sometimes, you know, where's your time best spent, right?
Right. I mean, I think, yeah, our time is best spent in producing on the job site and making sure that we're on task, on point. And if we're working with a designer, then the designer, it would be amazing to have that ability to have them, so they're managing the changes as they see if there's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And that's what quite often happens is when you're starting to do a build, is that there could be some changes, but the designer may have just, you know, did the design. Sometimes we don't even know the design. The design might be, the customer may have bought a design from somebody.
Yeah.
And then they call us to do an install. So we have no knowledge of this person. Mm-hmm. No idea who they are. And they're done. They're gone.
Yes.
So we need to bring them in. Bring the designers in.
Mm-hmm. Please, yes. I know I'm biased, so for our listeners.
I'm biased, too.
Yes, yeah, you know, because I think in this situation, it's not, you know, where everybody wins, including the homeowner, right?
Yeah, and it's just, there's too many examples of projects I've had in the past where designs weren't clarified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the client, it's my staff.
Yes. Oh, yeah, like, I was going to say that. So how does the design affect the crew?
Oh, my, you're going to have a far better install if they know what the next step is than, you know, something that's sort of piecemeal together of, we have to put in a, you know, a garden, a patio, a walkway. We don't know what stone we're using. No, not yet. And it's sort of like, build it as you go. It's
right.
It's a very unsettling feeling as an owner and as an employee, because you just don't understand what is happening next, really.
Like, right.
If it's gonna, what's changing, what's, like, you know, you need to have something. You don't know what you're working off of.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're, you know, if you tell them it's got to be a 20 by 20 patio, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you start adding a whole other bunch of elements to it, you got to have something that's got some direction to it.
Yeah, that some people can refer to. And time-wise, like, so it must help the jobs be just run more efficiently.
Well, that's exactly what happens, is what I witness over the years is they start forming their own design committees on the job site to create what they need to do that should have been done by
a designer,
through the client or whatever. And so they start designing it themselves and trying to troubleshoot it, problem solve it. And they usually generally do.
Yes.
But it costs a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more indecision on what to get done. So it can be very frustrating for them. And we've had some heated arguments over the years without designs. So anyways, last year we just stopped. We're not doing it anymore. There's no, if we're doing anything, I don't care what it is, it's got to have a design to it.
Okay. So when a client calls you, so let's go back and talk about, so the first contact, so right now I'm sure your phone is ringing like crazy.
Yeah.
So how do our listeners, like, just prepare them for how, walk them through the process and what the process should be like?
Well, when they call in, we're going to ask a whole bunch of questions about what you're looking to do, the scope of what you want to do, where you live, and we look at Google Maps to see the position of the house, see where it's sitting on the street, get an idea of what's going on in the neighborhood.
Right.
And it helps a lot to get a sort of a sense of the neighborhood of what's going to work, what's not going to work before I even get out there.
Yeah. Access even, right?
Well, I can see some access. Yeah. You know, usually from, overhead on Google Maps, you can sometimes see it, but generally you got to measure that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when I go for the first visit, just get an idea of what they want to do. And we're telling them, I just mentioned that we're part of our services. We provide a design to it. And I explain to them the benefits of it. And quite often people say, oh, I don't need a design.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stress the importance of it.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to get a design, I really don't know if there's much more conversation.
I see. Wow. So it's come to that for you. That's great. Well
I think it has to, because there's just not enough time in the season to get stuff done as it is. And we want to do things properly. We want to do it the first time. We don't want to do it repeatedly. We don't want to do things twice.
Yeah.
We want to be on budget. And when we don't have the tools like a budget or in a design, it's just very hard to accomplish our goals. and we weren't accomplishing our goals, so I changed it up, and now we're on track, and things are going far better with plans and designs and in engaging the designers.
Well, that's great.
And it helps everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to spend $10,000 on a project,
mm-hmm.
or $5,000 or $20,000 or $100,000, if you're spending $5,000 on a project, to spend $500 on a design as part of that project,
yeah,
it, to me, is just, it's just it's such a simple decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think about it too, because sometimes people... You mean this year might be just the $5,000 project in the large scheme of things in the backyard, right? But really the whole backyard can be designed, and then, you know, you can work on that plan over a couple of years, because not everybody has that $100,000 budget, right?
No, and I think that's one of the things that I've over my entire career, probably to my detriment in some cases, mm-hmm. that I've always said to people, you can stage your project. So mm-hmm. if you have the design,
yeah,
you can pick away at the project and in 2, 3, 4 seasons, whatever you want to do, or 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
Or longer, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you could do the back this year, you could do the patio next year, you could do, like, you can sort of phase it and stage it. But at least you've got something to go by.
Yeah, I think that's another, you know, thing that people don't realize the benefit of. So you're just working with a designer once, but it's really creating a whole plan in your front and backyards, right?
Yeah, and then once you have a plan, so for example, if you have a backyard plan and you decide this year you have a budget for a new patio or it's new stairs or a landing or whatever it might be, you build your structures, and then you might decide that the garden that was designed is now too small, too big, mm-hmm. want to add a few things, so you can actually have a revision on it,
yeah,
as to what's been there, and now you've lived with it for a while. And you can improve upon the design that's already been implemented. So I think, that, again, it's a very symbiotic relationship to have with your designer.
Yes. Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. And I think it's great, your point about the effect of the crew, and especially with changes, too, because I think if a client makes a change, then to see the change, you know, because it's like a game of telephone, right? They mm-hmm. say something to one of your crew guys, you know, say something to you, and then, you know, and then the change is made, but was that really what the client meant, you know, as opposed to having someone oversee it, like a designer that would say, okay, this is what it's, the new look, this is what we're going for, or this is what we're, you know, where we're moving it, or this is the new size of the patio.
No, exactly. Yeah. And that's what happens when I don't have a designer,
mm-hmm.
and I measure out a patio and I price it out as someone wants a 20 by 20 patio, you price it out and they really don't know what 20 by 20 looks like
mm-hmm.
in their backyard
yeah.
until you dig it out because they haven't had a plan.
Yep.
And now this thing looks too small, might look too big, might not be what they wanted, you know, because they really don't understand what they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not suggesting anybody's stupid, but
yeah.
I mean, when I'm doing any renovations, we do designs for that. I mean, if I'm getting my bathroom done, why I need to have a design. I don't understand all the ins and outs of the plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to have a professional design it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, are all designs created equal? You know, there's be some people that like, well, why would I pay for a design when so-and-so will just, you know, give me something and just give me a free quote with a little design attached?
Well, I guess there's a designer and a client relationship everywhere.
Yes.
People's budget might work for some designers as opposed to others. You can do, I was actually thinking about, I was talking to a designer a while ago, a couple of years ago, and it was a very one-sided relationship, which I was impressed by because she owned the design. If she presented the design, you got to see the design, but you didn't get to keep the design. It was still her design, even though you paid to have it done. It was her baby.
Really?
And if you wanted to keep it, it was like an extra $5,000. It was just over the top.
Wow.
And it was very high-end clients, and
mm-hmm.
it was in southwestern Ontario, too, which I was impressed. It was amazing. The stuff was beautiful. But, you know, people will pay it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, depends on the clientele and stuff, but I think that if you're trying to compare designs, like if you have a sketch, at least it's a start. It's something.
Mm-hmm.
And based on budget, it's a start. And I think that it's better than nothing. It certainly is. It can help.
Right.
But when you get into, you know, if you're even simple walkways and patios and front entrances, front gardens, it's nice to have like a Dynascape design or a SketchUp design or anything CAD based that just gives you some dimension.
Yeah.
And it allows collaboration with the staff. They can think about how they're going to attack it, how they're going to build it, what they're going to do. They know what the dimensions are of the property. They have an idea where they can put materials. This is all beforehand. So, you know, yes, you have Google Maps to look at, but you also now you have a design.
Yes.
Where you can stage your product, where you can put the trees for the project, whatever you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's...
saving time, yeah.
It's important.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Now, I just had a thought and then went right out of my head, but that's okay. The other thing I would think about as far as the design goes, it must help you prepare an accurate quote.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's got to be a huge savings. You know, if that comes back to the collaboration, right? So with the homeowner, the contractor, because I don't, as a designer, and I know all designers will say that, we don't want to design something that can't be built, right? So you know, that collaboration between designer and contractor is huge, and with a homeowner. So when we design an area, or, you know, it's a retaining wall or something like pillars even, you know, we want to make sure that we're choosing the right materials.
Yeah.
And that's where your expertise is invaluable.
And I lean on people for that too. So I work with a lot with Permacon, and they provide us with engineers as required to build retaining walls and things like that. So it's nice to have that. And they will work with designers, and they work with the homeowners as well. So it's nice to have that ability to actually build things properly using the available resources that we have.
Yeah, there's a lot of tools that the homeowners don't realize that we do have access to, right, with these companies. They do provide quite a bit of support, don't they?
And one of the things, too, that I've been doing lately is when I do provide pricing to people, I put in the budget for a design, and then I will price the job as our conversation happened on the site.
Okay.
But it's a budget. It's not the final pricing until the design is completed, but it gives them a ballpark budget to work with. I'm trying to now provide like a low range and a high range of the budget, so people can see that, you know, it's going to be $3,000 to $4,500 based on, you know, your final choices and stuff, whether it's larger plants and more expensive brick, a couple different options or whatever. So that seems to help too, sort of clarify things to people that, like, now they're getting, because there's always a sort of a lag with the design process where you go see the client, you look at the job, you call the designer comes and looks at the job. You haven't priced it at this point yet. So
right.
The designer then goes home and builds the design.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't priced it yet because you haven't seen the design.
So yeah.
It takes anywhere from a day to a month.
Yeah. Well, maybe a couple of weeks. I don't know about a month. Yeah. Okay.
Could take anywhere, yes, from a day to a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then when you get the design back, then you have some revisions and you still haven't priced the job.
Right.
So now it's like I'm taking a few steps out of it and giving them a budget they can sort of see and work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think it's a very good process because it just, you know, you've got your designs included. You've got a budget of the project. And this is before the client sees a designer. And I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to really enjoy that.
Yeah. And I think having that rough budget helps the designer as well, right? Because if there's no budget for retaining walls or garden walls or seat walls, then I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to put them in the design, right? If it's if the client's looking for something a little bit more and they want the seat walls and you've mentioned that and you've included that in your budget, then, you know, then I know I can include them.
Or if I haven't included it, you see that option,
then
that's a revision on my part where I just have to, you know, okay, based on Joanne's design, We were at $5,000 roughly budgeted, and now she's added $2,000 worth of stuff. Change the budget up, tighten up the descriptions, and you're already working on the project.
Right. Like
you're already working through things with them, which is nice. It's very, again, collaborative.
Yeah.
You're putting, more, I think you're putting more power in the customer's hands, and you're also taking a lot of pressure off the designer because you're not going in totally cold.
Mm-hmm.
You're going in with some sort of understanding that the client is looking to do something seriously. They want the design. They want to work with you. They're excited to actually work with you, which is nice.
Yeah. And the material, so because when it comes to material, there's really, good, better, best sometimes, right?
Well, I think we're lucky in Ontario. We've got some really good stone manufacturers, like manufactured stone, like interlocks and retaining walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think they're all pretty good. Like they're the ones that we're using, the big ones are all very similar quality. I think what I like is that the customer has a lot of choice.
Yes.
There was a lot of years and it was pretty slim pickings on what you had to choose from.
Yes, for sure.
And, maybe it's gone a little bit overboard, but if you look at the building industry, there's a billion different types of tile you can pick for your house.
Yes, that's true too.
And I think that there's a good complement of products from each manufacturer that can give anybody with any budget a really nice project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes you do need to, I know I presented a design today and they're like, well, where should we go to look at stone? And I said, hold on. I said, I had some revisions on the design. I said, let's together work, let's look at the books and kind of narrow down the look you're going for. Mm-hmm. And then I'll send you to go look once you're looking between, two or three different stones, because to send you blind into this, there's so much choice. I think you'd be upset at me, right? That you want to really narrow it down a little bit. So they both agreed. They're like, oh yeah, it can be so overwhelming.
Well, it is, and I've seen it when I go to the stone yard and I meet clients. I'll go. The odd time we'll meet at the client site and just go through the catalogs, which for some people is fine.
Yes.
They get the idea of the colors and stuff like that, and they're fine with that. And other people want to see the stone. They want to see the where it comes from. And if you send them there without any direction, I've looked at these poor people, and they just look lost and disappointed and frustrated, and everything, all the stone at the stone yard looks dusty and stuff.
Yes,
and, it's not, you need to have some help with that.
Yeah, definitely. And that is another place where the designer can help, right? Because we can take the time out of our day to take them to the stone yard and look at stone, or bring the stone to their house.
Yes. You
know, a lot of people want to see it against their brick.
Absolutely.
And that's something, a designer can really help with and they're helping. Both helping the homeowner and the contractor. Because, for you to leave the site of one job to go and bring stone for the next job, it's not necessarily the best use of your time. Sometimes it's on your way and, whatever.
Yeah.
You have to, go by there to double check a measurement or something like that. But not if you have a design, of course. But so that's another reason, I think, to have a design.
And it's the same thing with not only the stone yard, but the nurseries. Like, I find it sometimes if I don't have a design and I'm doing some small job that I probably shouldn't have taken on because I didn't think to get a design done.
Yes.
And I've put in a garden and I got to fill this garden now with stuff and I have no idea what I'm going to put in there until I get to the nursery.
Yeah.
Then I spend way too long looking for stuff that may or may not work in the project.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just not, it's not a benefit to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send clients to the nursery, be prepared for an extreme without supervision, without an information of what they need to be looking at. They'll come back with stuff that won't work.
Yes, for sure. And even though the staff at the nurseries are well-meaning, they don't know the space, right?
No,
they don't know
the
light conditions. Yeah. I've done that. I've had a client go for a boxwood hedge and they went for boxwood and then said something about wanting green and white. And so the person at the nursery sold them 6 euonymus.
Yeah, well, we have to remember that the nurseries are there to sell plants.
For sure.
The stone yards are there to sell stone.
That's right.
Sometimes, the
Yeah. No. I mean, well-meaning. Like, they were well-meaning. The homeowner said green and white. But it's like, well, but you wanted a hedge. Like, you asked for a boxwood hedge and this euonymus. You know, yeah, I guess you can, you know, force it into a hedge. But really, in the long run, it's not going to be what you wanted. But, you know, it's too late now because here it is. And we're putting it in now, you know. So, yeah. So sometimes having, you know, I say that to my clients. I said, yeah, you can walk around the nursery with the plant list and try to figure out where everything is. Or you could just call me and I can just, you know, have it delivered and
well, the nursery
type of thing.
Can be a lovely place to visit, to walk around.
Absolutely.
Plants, and if you so inclined, but it can also be extremely stressful when you can't find what you're looking for and you don't know understand what you're supposed to be picking out or whatever.
Yeah.
And that can be the same for, like, if you look at some of the natural stone products too, right? We do a lot of flagstone, and that's, again, a very personal taste that people need to see the stone a lot of the cases. They need to see what it looks like weathered, what it's going to look like with different colored grouts, and they need to sort of visualize what it's going to be. So that's where you say, like, yeah, we drop off stone samples so you can sort of get an idea of what it's going to look like against your house. And if you walk into one of the bigger stone yards, it's so overwhelming. There's so many choices.
Same with decorative rocks. It's hilarious to go. Yep. My friends think it's hilarious that I go and like try to pick out decorative rocks out of this big pile of rocks. But you know it when you see, like, as a designer, I know it when I see it, and you know it when you see it. You know, you know the which one's going to work. And but to send a client to this pile of what seems to them one big pile of a whole bunch of rocks, you know, but we can see. Yeah. And I think you and I've had that discussion. Remember, I can remember a job where I wanted the rock on its side.
Yeah.
Because the grain was going a different way. And so you and I had discussion about that and you didn't want to do that. Do you remember that?
I do. And I see that happen now and then, and I go, oh my God, geez.
And mine at my, I have one at my house and it's on its side, but I really like it that way. Well, now so I was going for that same look, but
it's your house, exactly.
But I could appreciate that. So that's what you get, a homeowner, right? When the designer and the contractor are working collaboratively. So when you're getting back to the quotes, often what happens, so we talked about the price of a design and the investment in the design as far as the time and the money, but, and then you quote and the homeowners often, usually most of the time, right? They're shocked.
Well, I try to alleviate that shock. I try to, when we walk around the project, and they want to do a garden, they want to do a flagstone porch, they want to do this, they want to do a patio, and at the same time, I'm sort of gathering up numbers in my head, saying, well, it sounds like, you know, you're looking at a project of between $15,000 and $20,000.
So that's how you try to alleviate the sticker shock.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they say, oh, yeah, that's about right. Or they say, oh, no. We want to be around 5 to 10. I'm like, okay, well, then you have to change your strategy.
Right.
So at least it gives you a little bit of understanding of where they want to be and sort of what they're thinking in terms of value. And sometimes it's a question of talking to them about, explain to them about what constitutes value for your project or for your property too.
Yes.
That, you know, if your house is in the new economy with $1.5 million and it was worth $400,000 last year, I don't know that you want to spend 10% of the value of the house on your landscaping. That'd be a lot of money.
Yes.
So you want to sort of tailor your budget to work with the house as opposed to the value. And you have to budget the allotted money and make sure that you're getting value for your money, of course. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're putting in the right landscape.
Right. Okay. So that's good. So that helps if you can kind of give them. So it's not, you know, sometimes people have a number in their head. Clients, but they might not want to share that. So if you're kind of being proactive and throwing out those numbers, you can kind of, and in relation to specifics, right? Well, you know, patio about that size, so that they get a better idea of what they're getting for that price, right?
Right. And I think, and people have to be honest with themselves too. Like, you know, they need, if they, they, I think people inherently know what they want to spend.
Mm.
But you're doing yourself and you're doing the contractor and you're doing the designer a huge favor by letting them know, we're not going to, if you tell us your budget's $5,000, we're not going to make it $4,999. And like, it's not, we're not there to gouge you to make exactly take all your money from.
Right. Right.
We want to know what it is that we're working with and what elements we can provide or go above and beyond what we can provide based on the budget you've got. So, you know, I find that people will, I think people that have researched a lot kind of know what they want to do and they sort of understand, or maybe they've done a landscape on a previous house. But it does help. It really does help everybody to know that there does need to be a secrecy to it. Like,
right.
Your budget's not a,
yeah.
It's not your bank balance.
Yes,
it's not your bank
yes.
Account.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and unfortunately, if you're spending about $5,000 on a landscape and it's your last $5,000, there might be other issues to look at.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I want to make sure that we're giving you what you want and what is value, but it helps. It really does help when people, we can help. We can design the project to your budget as opposed to, if I'm guessing,
yeah.
You know, I don't know how much they want to spend.
Yeah.
They didn't have a budget. They don't know what their budget
mm-hmm.
is. So when I sort of say, okay, it's going to be whatever, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, at least I can sort of see the reaction
mm-hmm.
and what the next thing out of their mouth is either awesome or, oh dear.
Yeah. And sometimes I worry that sometimes when people don't know the price and don't, you know, when you say for them to do their research, I think they think the best research is to call 5 or 6 different contractors and get 5 or 6 different quotes.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, without a design, you know, I try to explain to people, well, now you're quote, you know, they're quoting what's in their head as far as the layout, and it's not necessarily what you were looking for. You know, everybody's quoting something slightly different. So now you can't compare apples to apples.
Right.
Do you find that? Like, how do you handle when people say, oh, I've already called a couple others, or?
It's probably just don't go.
Yeah.
If you can't get what you need in 4 or 5 contractors.
Yeah.
I've seen this many, many times where I get called and they've had 4 or 5 quotes. If you can't get it in that number of contractors, there's nothing I have to offer
mm-hmm.
that you haven't already seen from these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even worth it to call that many. You know, I think if you've contacted 2, don't you think?
I think 1 or 2.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're calling reputable companies
mm-hmm.
and there's no real issues with anything, then,
yeah.
you know, and you're comfortable with the contractor, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
You got to be comfortable with the person.
Yes, yep, that's important too.
That you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not comfortable with the guy or girl, then find someone else,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
But if you have a good relationship and you're, and like, I'm pretty open and transparent with my stuff, so I'm not that hard to get along with. And if there's a problem, then yeah, find someone else,
yeah.
for sure. And if that doesn't work, then find another person.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, unless your time is not valuable,
yeah.
I don't know that more than 2 or 3 people is, it's a lot of effort.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a lot of effort for the contractors, it's a lot of effort for the clients, more
mm-hmm.
for the clients than anything else. If you're meeting 5 people,
yeah.
that could be potentially 5 to 10 hours of,
yeah.
of meeting with people. And possible second meetings for a residential landscape, I don't think is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And so that's good to know. So after, like, going back to the process a little bit, so after the quote's approved, so, you know, you've
yeah.
kind of, we've done the design, we've nailed down the material list, you've provided a quote. What can homeowners expect after that, like the timeline and what they can expect during installation? I thought maybe you could speak to that little bit.
If you're booking projects right now, you're probably going to be getting an install date of for us, it's into June and July.
Right.
And in that meantime, there's going to be back and forth on products to choose, and there might be some new stuff come out.
Mm-hmm.
that we're going to recommend to make some changes up until probably the day of starting. And the day your project starts, I'm meeting with my foreman on site, or we probably actually, before that, I backed that up. We're at the yard in our office looking at the plans, going through all our information on everything, making sure we have the locates that have been called, called in, so we know we're cleared to dig. We want to make sure neighbors have been notified, and hopefully the homeowner has talked to their neighbors. That's a very big issue that we have, where neighbors don't know what's going on. We are shocked some mornings that something's going on. They weren't alerted to it. I'm like, well, yeah, sorry about that, but we're here to work, and someone may have should have notified you.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we start work, and we're try to be as clean as possible. That's a huge thing. We've tried to eliminate doing any loading on the roads now, so we're not dumping material on the road as much as we used to. So we're keeping things in the trucks so that there's just less mess at the end of the day.
That's good.
And that's a huge thing for me too. It keeps my cost down for cleaning.
Yes.
And it also keeps the materials on the truck, keeps it from getting all over the roads and everything else. There's just less cleanup.
Yeah. And a rainstorm comes and, you know, they're so, so it's a...
So, yeah. So we're trying to keep that. And that's another thing too. I have a hobby in the summer when I'm doing projects of driving in the neighborhoods and looking at all the landscapers working and taking pictures of the disasters they leave on the roads. Piles and piles of bricks, piles of dirt, bins, whatever. And, you know, you want to hire professional people that don't do that kind of stuff.
Yes, definitely.
So what you get from us anyways, and from most of the quality people, is a clean job site, sort of working from anywhere from 7 a.m. to 5 or 6 p.m. Job sites are left clean. There's client interaction during the project, making sure that everything's happy the way that everything they'd like is happening. They'd like to see it happening is happening the way they want it to happen.
Right. Yeah. Now, do you want your homeowners home, or do you find you wait for them to come home after work?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Some people work from home. A lot of people work from home,
and
they find it to be disturbing and it's loud. So you know, you might want to go work in the home office that day, or the regular office that day. But for the most part, people get up, go about their business, go to work. If there's a challenge, I'll call them. Usually something very similar or very small, just to go through and make a change on or something. But we work 5 or 6 days a week in the summer, and you should have no problems, really.
Good. Sometimes I've heard this too, where let's say you know people ask you after the quoting stage, they'll say, you know, how long do you think it'll take? And you know, you say, okay, let's say it'll take 5 days, and then all things, and in your mind, that's worst case scenario, right? Like you're all these contingencies built in there. But let's say you had great weather, the brick was in stock, everything, the cutting went well, and you're out of there in 3.5 days.
Yeah.
And do you find homeowners are like, well, like almost, you know, they expect it to be cheaper or something, right?
But I've never had that. Really.
Have you never had that? Okay,
not
good.
Not really, no.
Yeah, well, that's good. I have had that, you know, in other jobs I've been worked on. But I think it doesn't, you know, the size of the job and that doesn't necessarily relate, right?
No, because there's so many elements that go into a project. And today was case in point. It's the first day of the season, really. And we're getting everything going, and all the machines are moving, and everybody's getting where they have to go, and you encounter problems.
Yeah.
Right? And generally, the problems cause us to delay jobs. And when everything's going smoothly and going well, it's a bonus for everybody.
Yes.
But what you're not seeing on that job that ended a day and a half early was there might have been an extra guy on site.
True.
Or an extra two guys in some cases.
Yep.
Or if it's my company, it might be me on site, which can help or hinder depending on who you talk to. But and that's an extra body as well that's moving things along a little bit quicker. We might have an extra truck that day.
Okay.
We have so many factors that help us get things done quicker.
Right.
Or can delay us at the same time. If I don't have that extra guy, if I don't have that truck, if I don't have whatever that day, then it could take an extra longer, take a day longer from 5 days to 6 days.
Yeah.
So it's, and you know, we're working with nature. I'm working with, I'm working outside. I'm working with traffic. I'm basically bringing a factory to your house.
Yes. Yeah. And last year, the heat, right?
What's that?
The heat last year. I mean, the guys can work hard, but last year was tough, right?
Yeah. It was a hard year last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're bringing like a fully functional factory to your house to do work and setting up and taking it down at the end of every day.
Yeah.
So there's factors that can, more equipment helps us sometimes, and sometimes more equipment slows us down. So
yes.
It depends on the project. It really does. But yeah, I haven't had too many people. I think when people start a project, they're happy to have you gone.
Yeah.
As happy there to have you there.
For sure. So we have a listener who emailed in here. Carmen emailed that she checked out your website, Chris, and she said it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
So she really likes the work. So so that's great. Yeah, and boy, time flies. Look at the clock.
What time is it?
It's almost 5:02. I just want to wrap up quickly just to talk about after the job is complete, the homeowner should expect some kind of a warranty, right?
We offer right now, 5 years on all our stonework.
Okay.
Which should cover anything.
Yeah.
We're pretty confident with what we installed that we don't have these problems. So
Excellent. And so why don't you give a shout out at where our listeners could find you in the
you
area?
You can find us at hvlandscaping.com.
Okay.
You can find us at 416-473-0000. And you can find me on Instagram at, I think it's myhvl.
Yes, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, and that's where we, you know, trade work, look at different things together.
Yeah.
So Instagram's become a really good tool, I think, for communicating situations to clients and prospective clients. And
it just gives you the ability to, put before, after, during pictures, and it's quite nice.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you. And I think it's helped so that people understand, you know, not all landscapers aren't the same, and that really looking for someone who can provide that whole package, I think, is really important.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I think highlighting the landscape design build is a really good thing. So I'm really glad that you came on the show and we could talk about it and just explain the process, you know, because sometimes...
I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Good. Not everybody understands the process. So right. I think we live it, but not everybody else does. And it's a huge investment and we understand that. So I think it's great to take the time and really walk them through it. So thank you very much for joining me tonight.
You,
you're welcome. You're welcome. And I hope we talk soon. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, everyone. I hope you learned a little bit more about the landscape process. Gary, what do you think? Did you learn a bit?
I you know, after that person wrote in about the website,
yes.
I actually went online and looked. It's amazing.
Yeah,
the work they've done.
Yeah, he does.
It's phenomenal.
A really good site.
Well, and you know, it comes down to what you both said. You need a plan, and you should use a professional all the time instead of trying to do stuff on your own.
Yeah. For sure. And I think, setting our expectations a little higher when it comes to landscapers and really trusting that we bring expertise to the backyard.
Absolutely.
To their situations. And just because they, like, again, that pool example, you know, I understand that, you know, you want the pool 3 feet from the fence, but, you know, a professional should be telling you that that's not the best situation,
right.
You know, and this is why. So that was another great episode. I think it's definitely a timely one. We're all about the landscape design season has started. Like Chris mentioned, any calls or any new leads this April, you're really looking at, you know, pretty much end of June, probably more like July timeframe, because most of the early jobs were booked last fall.
Right.
So I tend to try and remind everybody of that. So please have patience with all of us. And we never know what the weather's going to do. So I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight on Down the Garden Path. I'm really looking forward to next week. We're going to talk to Alex, who's starting a whole new nursery. So I'm really looking forward to his story. The nursery's called Beach West Nursery.
Where's that going to be?
The nursery's in Schaumburg. And so it's been up and running, but it's still in its, you know, young stage. And so, Alex, I really want him to share his story and his journey of going out on his own and creating this.
So,
I'm really looking forward to next week's episode. And I want to thank Chris Ray again with Humber Valley Landscaping for a good talk and lots of experience from his part and advice for our listeners. So,
and if someone wants to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Absolutely. My email, of course, is joanne@downtoearth2earth.ca. My website is downtoearth.ca as well. And please feel free. You can see all my at the bottom of my website, all my social media links there. So whether you want to follow me on Facebook or Instagram, please do. Any questions about plants, gardening, landscaping, advice, I'm happy to help. So please send me an email. And I know our listeners are from all over. So I'm sure if you're not in our area, in my area or Chris's area, please, contact a local landscape contractor, landscape design build company.
And be patient.
And know that they bring a real value to your yard and your project.
You're going to live with that for many years,
right. And a lot of people, I've had a lot of people so far this year say, because of the housing prices, no one's buying a cottage and no one can afford to move because where are you going to move to?
Really,
the investment needs to be in your house and it needs to be done well. And curb appeal is important for resale. Backyard functionality is huge for resale. So you don't want to be making mistakes. Those are really costly mistakes. So thank you once again, everybody, and for listening and tuning in to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.